Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where we're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. We survived Snowmageddon, and maybe we're now back looking at a little bit of a spring coming our way. But you are listening to Grilling Guys, and it is Saturday, so get out, put your feet on the floor, and get out in the backyard, and maybe fire up a grill or a smoker. Barbecue Bob, I think, has been on permanent vacation the last couple months, but this one is spring break with his family. He's got a senior in high school, and it's her last spring break with mom and dad. So Barbecue Bob is out, but in a very good stroke of luck, I was able to get a hold of my good friend Tim Sobey, the proprietor and butcher extraordinaire from Sobey Meats. And Tim is sitting in the chair for Barbecue Bob. Tim, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you, and thanks for scraping the bottom of the bone barrel to get me here today.
Well, if I thought that was the case, it'd still be a great thing. But appreciate you making time, because if you've listened to the Grilling Guys at all, you know that Tim has been a longtime supporter of this show, but also just a tremendous asset on our board of directors to just keep us right and straight when it comes to talking about fresh meat of any kind. Tim, Your butcher shop, Tim, there's a really nice story about that, and I know you're very humble, but you and Teresa were in another career, and when the recession hit, take it from there, right?
So I was downsized from Steelcase,
right?
And Teresa was at Hartford Insurance for 27 years,
right?
Downsized, so we were both unemployed at the same time, and put our faith where it was, and one thing led to another. We were able to get our meat market opened up, and it'll be 13 years this May that we've been in business. We got a big celebration we can talk about another time, but that's a big hoopla going on in May.
Yeah, well, and you know that the Grilling Guys will be a part of that.
Yeah.
We always are. It's a great celebration, but in your humble way, you started out with you and Teresa with you knew you had some skills cutting meat, but you'd never run a meat store before, and it's like, well, we're all in, honey. What are we going to do, right? And 13 years later, and I don't know how many employees you got, but you got a beautiful shop. And there's lots of them running around, and your reputation precedes you all over West Michigan. You got competition barbecue teams that specifically buy their meat from you. So I'm just saying, you know, hats off to you and Teresa. What a wonderful story it's been.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it's cool. So having said that, I was out last week and went down to Kansas City. It was actually a couple weeks ago, but spread it out into a little bit of a Grilling Guys business trip. And went down there to watch the regional finals. Michigan was there, although everybody knows I'm a Sparty. But Michigan was down there. They lost to Oregon, who ultimately lost in the Final Four. And as the story goes, everybody knows who the winner was. But at the end of the day, I was fortunate enough to spend some time in Kansas City at some barbecue joints. And I went to a place called Jack Stack. And there's four of them around the metro city area, but there were two things that I picked up there that were just fabulous, and one of them were the burnt ends. It seems that every barbecue restaurant in Kansas City has they all claim they have the best burnt ends. And really what that is it's their whole brisket that they cook, and then the flat seems to get done sooner than the point, right? The flat is thinner, the point is thicker. So what they do is they take the first few inches of that flat and chunk it up into like inch and a half by inch and a half cubes after it's smoked, put it back on a grill and kind of char it a little bit, and then roll it in their sauce, whatever their sauce is. And they serve this as a dish specifically called burnt ends. And it's almost, I think it, what I saw there were more orders of burnt ends going out of there than there was the sliced brisket. or any other way that they were serving brisket. It seems that these burnt ends were just the thing. They made them into sandwiches. They served them just in the chunks with the sauce as a meat entree. But the barbecue teams that come in and talk to you, are they serving burnt ends with their brisket, or are they doing it just largely for the slice part?
No, they also have the burnt ends. And as you're talking, going through that, my mouth is watering. Yeah. They are to die for. If you've never tried them, it's a must. You have got to try the burnt ends.
Yeah, and it's just a product, a byproduct of the smoke, because that flat is thinner. It gets done quicker. And they smoke the whole brisket, right? And they're looking for the point, or the deckel in the flat is together on the point. It's the thicker end of that brisket. Now, Tim, when people shop for briskets, what are the average sizes of those? Because when this isn't something you come and buy by the pound. You kind of buy the whole thing, right?
Yeah, it seems like, I'm going to say novices, those first-timers. And another Christmas season went through where it was amazing how many of our customers got smokers for Christmas. Now they're trying those out, so they might get just a flat chunk, and maybe it's anywhere 3 to 6 pounds, 7 pounds, and they'll try just the flat to kind of temperature test things. It's the same thickness all the way through, start honing their skills a little bit. Then when they run a couple of them, they think, boy, I can do that. It's not a monumental task.
Right.
Now let's go for the whole brisket and with the point on there. And that is really succulent meat in that point.
Yeah, and so the whole brisket with the point, those are what, 10 to 16 pounds, depending on the size of the one that you get. And I think that Cowboy Rob Russell from Kansas, saw him while I was down there as well, and Bob had him on the show last week. And not to be redundant, but his tip is get that thing to 160 in your smoker. It stopped taking smoke at about 140, so you get it up to 160, and then he recommends that you wrap them, and you wrap it in tin foil, and then bring it up to 200 degrees, the point, the thick part, so that if you get that to 200 degrees and you got that foil over top of it, it's locked in some of that moisture, and it just makes it a little more moist. Now, when I was down in Kansas City, there was no tin foil anywhere, right? These things were stacked up as full as they could get them inside these big commercial smokers that they had down there. And they were just cooking them till 200 degrees was the magic temperature that they were doing in that point. But that's what caused the ends to get burnt, because that was like 220, because it's thinner when you get that point up to 200. So interesting little thing. But anyway, the other thing that I saw down there was this stuff called cheesy corn. And I'm like, man, now that is a full-figured friendly piece of side dish. I said, I got to have me some of that. Have you ever had anything like that?
Not that one. We've had some other one. It was in like a bread.
Yeah, no, this was actually like it was creamed corn style, but it was whole kernel corn.
Okay.
It wasn't creamed, but it had equal parts of cream cheese and cheddar cheese, and then a little flour and milk to thicken it up a little bit, kernel corn and butter.
Wow.
Okay. They mixed all the ingredients other than the corn together. The cheese has got it all melted with the butter, the flour in there to thicken it a little bit. They poured in a bunch of corn, and then they put it in a casserole bowl, and they just baked it for about 45 minutes. So it had a little bit of crust on it with that cheese, and they served it in a little crock. Now my mouth's watering.
I'm thinking that would be so horrible if you added bacon to that.
Yeah.
Or burn ends.
Right, yeah, exactly. They had ham as an option in it, but you're right. The bacon would be fabulous.
Yeah.
Man. What's wrong with bacon, right?
Bacon goes good with bacon.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing better than bacon except more bacon. But anyway, coming up next, Tim, what I'd like to do is run up and down your meat counter, if you would, because I want to talk about some different kinds of beef and the cuts for grilling versus smoking and things like that. You listen to Grilling Guys and the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back. Get it on.
Get it on. If your windows stick, slip, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got six packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, and our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orin Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FennValley.com.
Get up, get on up, get up, get on up, stay on the scene, get on up, like a sex machine.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. I had to swallow that mouthful of meat stick before I could start talking. If you're just tuning in, you are listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. And Barbecue Bob is on vacation again. Surprise, surprise, right? He's on spring break. So I'm very fortunate to have the master of meat, the butcher extraordinaire, Tim Sobey, sitting in and co-hosting with me. And at this point in time, I'm going to continue eating these meat sticks. And Tim, I want you to talk about a little bit of this. Looking in your meat case, you've got choice, prime, and select cuts of beef. What's the difference?
It's all in the grading. And first, I just want to say thanks for swallowing my meat today.
Yeah,
you can't say that,
right? Yeah, and more so, I can't say, but you're welcome.
Yeah. So it's when they grade the cattle, and they have like a little grid mark that they'll put over. There should be X amount of marbling within, you know, per square inch, kind of a thing. So they'll grade them out. Prime is the highest. And right now, fortunately, the cattle are finishing out so good that there is actually like a shortage of select product on the market, which is really, really pretty cool because other farmers are doing their finishing them out, getting them to market at a younger age, but higher marbling quality to them. So the prime, and we use Chairman Reserve as our box beef, which is the top 20%, the highest choice into prime. So as they're filling those orders, boxing them up, they'll box up X amount of prime. They'll get into that highest choice, and if they need 1,000 cases of prime and they fill that, some of that prime might spill down into the choice category.
Oh, really?
Which is what we'll get with Chairman Reserve. Then there's five levels of choice, five being highest down to a one, and then below that will be select or no roll.
Okay.
So a couple things might kick it out of the choice market. It might be their lack of marbling, so it's going to go select. Or if it's an older cattle and they use a tooth, their cattle will grow a third tooth on the bottom, and that's the gauge that they use. which is unfair to the farmers because just like with humans, you could get wisdom teeth at 17 or at 47. So there's no certain time when they'll get that, but that's the gauge that the USDA uses.
Huh.
Then they'll take, if that animal gets that third tooth, they automatically disqualify him from being choice into that select category.
So a butcher shop such as yours or others versus a big box store, the big box stores are doing volume. Do we most of the time see select in there, or do we see the choice? Because you don't see a lot of prime in the discount clubs and the larger grocery stores.
Yep. If meat is going to be actually graded choice, and that's most of what we sell is the choice, a market is going to sell it that way. It's choice product.
Okay.
Big box stores, you'll see words like USDA certified. There isn't a cut of meat that can't be sold unless it's USDA inspected.
I see.
So if it says USDA certified or USDA inspected, more than likely that will not be choice product.
Okay.
If it was going to be choice, they would advertise it that way. So it's going to be something less like a select or a utility or a no roll.
Okay. And the prime is a small portion of the cattle. And again, that's a younger cow, and it's a younger, or and it's a more marbled piece. Now, where do the old dairy cows go? I mean, are they made into something else? I mean, they're not. There's beef cattle and there's dairy cattle, right?
Correct.
There's a distinct difference between the two.
Yeah, because those dairy cows aren't going to have the quality. They're an older cattle. Those are what are going to go for grinding meats.
Okay.
So they'll take trimmings from whatever animals were cut up that day. Could be anything from prime down to select. Well, they need lean meats to lean that trimming back up anyway. They'll use those, the dairy cows, so to speak.
Okay.
Or ones that don't have marbling to them, poor quality. Maybe they were bruised or whatever that was.
Sure. So then one last thing is what is your opinion on the use of antibiotics and things with the animals versus the organic meats?
Yeah, organic, I'm not a huge proponent of organic. One of the reasons is there aren't enough organic police out there to make sure the farm is doing what it needs to. For an example, there's a guy with a red pickup truck will go to some of our local produce farmers, buy the same produce we're getting. He'll go down to the farmer's market and put, I'm just going to use me, Tim's Organic Farm. The guy doesn't even have a farm. The produce he's buying is not organically raised, and he's selling it that way. And to me, that's a slap to the face for farmers that are actually doing that.
Sure.
So organic, to me, it's overpriced anyways. I don't think there's that much value to it.
Okay.
My opinion.
Right. Right. Okay. So let's get on the fun side of this then. So if I wanted to, if I've got the boss coming over and I'm up for the promotion and I want to impress him, and I'm going to grill a steak. Okay. Does it make a difference for me to go to from select to choice to prime? I think I want to leave select behind.
Yeah, absolutely.
And but choice versus prime. Will the average guy know the difference?
If you had two pieces next to each other and did a taste test, you might say, boy, I can taste that one. You know, like a prime, for example, is going to have a lot more marbling. It'll be a richer taste to it, but they might not appreciate the prime. If you get a really good choice, you're still going to be dancing.
Because, again, you said there's 1 through 5
on the choice.
On the choice in there. And again, is that all of this seems to revolve around the marbling?
Correct.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, as you said, you could get a little bleed off from the prime into the number one choice if you know there was the supply was such, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've had some prime before, and again, you know, I'd probably shoot myself in the foot for saying this, but at times I don't know if prime gains you that much more than like a 4 or 5 choice.
I see.
Cattle does.
And you know, you break down sides of beef there in the market.
Yep.
I know you do. So you see it all. Are there parts of a side of beef that are prime and then go to choice, or is the whole animal designated prime?
The whole animal.
Okay.
So that whole animal is designated if it's a choice 1 through 5 or prime or select. It's the whole animal.
I see. Okay. So asking the butcher, what's your favorite cut of beef on the grill? Gas or charcoal, don't care which fuel you use. But if Tim's going to sit down and throw down a steak dinner, what cut are you going to put on there?
I'll do one of two. I'll either do, and it's going to be thick, number one.
Okay.
But I'll either do, I love my bone-in sirloins, which you have to get those off the local beef. Otherwise, that's something that's going to come off like a boneless sirloin. But a bone-in sirloin or a ribeye are my two faves.
Okay, and why?
Fat is flavor.
Right.
So that's what you'll gain on the ribeye. And we were up at our cabin getting a project done up there, and the framers were up there, and I treated them to tomahawk steaks.
Oh, my.
So we went into some red meat comas that night.
Yeah.
But the other one that I find with the long bone sirloin is sirloin has a distinctive flavor. It tastes different than other cuts of meat, but it's lean, it's tender, it's flavorful. And there's a filet on there if you like filet.
Right, and it's not necessarily the most expensive piece of meat in your case.
Best value, in my opinion, of any steak, yeah.
Right. Now, you get a bone-in ribeye. Those are going to be on the top end of the price category, but they're worth it.
Yep.
And the tomahawk that you mentioned has that almost that full rib bone left on that, right?
Right. And because we break them ourselves, we'll leave that bone really radically long. I mean, make it look like a Fred Flintstone.
Yeah.
And so we can get probably every bit of a 12, maybe to 15-inch bone on that. French the bone down so you just have that ribeye at the top, and it looks like a big tomahawk.
Yeah.
But we do a true one. We'll cut between each bone, so there's only 7 tomahawks, and they were about 3 inches thick is what we brought up and did on the grill.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Those sound – now you got my mouth watering just thinking about that. But so real quickly, because we're almost at the end here, when you're cooking a 3-inch thick steak, any tips, just real quick tips so it doesn't get overdone but it gets done?
I'm a flipper, you know, keep flipping back and forth. The other thing, get yourself, invest in a good meat thermometer. I have digital thermometers. I live and die by them. You get the internal temp you want. You can't screw it up.
Right.
You either got to burn it or drive over it with a truck. You can't mess it up.
That's right. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Barbecue Bob. We're going to go down to the Dutch Riviera, that's Gulf Shores, Alabama, and dial him up and see what he's been eating down there. I'm pretty sure it's going to be some seafood. You listen to the Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
Imagine you and your buddies in your backyard drinking a cold one and relaxing in your new outdoor bar or kitchen. Does that sound like a good time? Yeah, baby. Then you wake up and realize you're sitting on an old deck in the glaring sun, drying out your brat on a worn-out grill. This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and if that's what you're cooking on in your backyard, you should call the guys at Home Life Outdoor Living. They'll help you design and build an outdoor kitchen and entertainment space that will make your backyard the talk of the neighborhood. Create some grill envy in your backyard. Call Home Life Outdoor Living at 616-682-0100.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
With The Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see The Grillin' Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to The Grillin' Guys Show.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend. Get out of bed, put your feet on the floor, and create a little grill envy in your neighborhood. Speaking of neighborhoods, Barbecue Bob is on yet another vacation, right? He's down in the Dutch Riviera, someplace down there on the Gulf shores of the Atlanta area in Georgia. And on the live line right now, I think we've got him pulled away from the breakfast table. You out there, Barbecue Bob?
Hey, guys.
Hey, how are you, man?
Gulf Shores, Alabama.
Yeah, that's where you're at. Okay, not in Georgia. You're in Alabama. That's right. I never know. You travel so damn much. Who knows?
That's okay. We come here every year. You know, Michigan folks in particular seem to like Gulf Shores.
Yeah, I've heard you talk about this Florabama bar before. Have you darkened their door yet?
We did, actually.
Yeah, right.
It's a tradition. Anybody from our school district in particular always picks Wednesday night. So the place has gotten to be gigantic, but more importantly, the fresh seafood this year is at a really good price, and I don't know, the selection is just overwhelming.
So what have you had?
Eating the heck out of shrimp because it's so fresh and so good. Lots of flounder, oysters almost every day. There's a place here called Live Bait. And you can get a dozen oysters for $12, and they are so fresh, it's ridiculous. And do you have Mr. Sobey with you?
Yeah, how you doing, Bob?
Hey, buddy.
Are you eating those oysters raw?
Oh, yeah. You would absolutely love it here. I don't know if you've ever been, but this is right up your alley, buddy. And they need a good meat shop down here because I haven't found a good butcher yet.
I've heard that many, many times.
So yeah, the scallops are beautiful. Also, haven't done any of the lobster. I'm not a fan of warm water lobster, but people seem to like it. But we've been grilling a bunch. Actually, did one of my favorites, which is a hot dog bar.
You're in the middle of seafood heaven, and you're eating hot dog bars. All right, Bob, we're with you, man.
Well, we got a bunch of kids with us too, so. They can only eat so much seafood, and it was awfully nice to have chili dogs and kielbasa and brats and all that stuff. We just had a wonderful time a couple nights ago doing that. But most importantly is just the overwhelming supply of beautifully fresh seafood. I mean, you can get shrimp so cheap, it's ridiculous. So we're just kind of binging on all the stuff that we normally don't get to eat.
Have you been grilling any of it?
Yeah, we actually grilled three times so far, but it's not a very good grill because it's a rental condo on the ocean. We rented a big house. It's like a duplex, side-by-side, three stories, and my brother-in-law, Paul, has one half for all of his kids and grandkids, and then we've got the other half for four out of the five kids and our two grandkids.
Sounds like a great time.
So basically, they're taking the rim of a car tire, throwing charcoal on it, taking a shopping cart, turning it sideways for a grill is kind of what you have down there?
That would be better. No, I've got a halfway decent charcoal grill. I can't find any good charcoal.
Yeah. How are the scallops on that grill?
Oh, my gosh. I wrapped them in bacon and used a little bit of just really sea salt and black pepper. It seems like I threw something else on one side, a little paprika on one side. We're kind of limited on spices. I don't want to buy too many spices, right? But, yeah, the key now is just to eat everything by tonight so we can pack up and go home.
Yeah. Well, that won't be a chore. You got some eaters down there, so that'll work.
Yeah, and I'm getting lots of sun and running through a lot of sunscreen. But Gulf Shores, Alabama is just we're actually in Orange Beach. So we're right up on the Pensacola, Florida state line. And it's just a wonderful little stretch of beach. If you go east about 45 minutes or so, once you get a half hour east of Pensacola, there's a place called Destin, and that's another one of our favorite places. That's the Emerald Coast, and that water, I'm not kidding, it is emerald color and just so beautiful. Everyone in America should visit Destin, Florida once in their life to see what I'm talking about. Because it
sounds like a destination, right? Yeah.
You had to.
Yeah, right. Easy, easy. Teed it up for me, brother.
So, Mr. Sobey, thanks so much for helping out this week.
Oh, my pleasure.
The show will be awesome because when we're talking to you, it's just so easy to talk about meats.
Well, and we got a couple events coming up that you're going to want to be part of. Have both grilling guys there that are going to be great events. I know you've helped Blue Star Mothers before, but we got that going on. Got our anniversary in May, so we got a lot of fun coming up at us.
Well, let's get that on the calendar.
We got it. All right. Well, Barbecue Bob, enjoy your last day in paradise. You come back to reality. You missed the big snowstorm while you were down there, so life's good, my brother.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, take
care.
The life of Nurmico. You know, he's had a good year. That's what he said to
what
me.
What about Bob?
Right. Yeah. It's been a good vacation year, he said. He's like, yeah, I know. This is the third one, and we're only in April. But anyway, good for him and his family. He deserves it. He works his butt off. But Tim, I want to talk about, he was talking about a lot of seafood down there, and you carry some seafood in the market. And do you get more call for fish fillets or fish steaks? And what do you see that's more popular between the two?
Probably the fillet is still more popular over the fish steak. But, you know, we sell a lot of fish steaks also. The tuna, mahi-mahi, you know, if it's a piece of salmon, it goes great on the grill, great in the smoker. But probably still, you know, just people are used to having that fillet.
And what are the popular fish varieties that you're moving?
Number one for the fillet still is tilapia.
Really?
Is probably the top one, yeah.
Real mild fish, real flaky, cooks real quick.
Yep. And then we got a couple different crusted ones that are easy. Throw them on the pan frozen, you know, 22 minutes, you're eating.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good.
Yeah, but now with the fresh fish that comes in, you probably don't get a lot of that. Most of your stuff is frozen.
Correct.
Yeah, it's just so difficult to keep fresh fish and move it fast enough to
well, on top of that, I'm going to cut in on you just one second, but like fresh halibut, for example, when we went through the logistics of getting fresh halibut to us, if they catch it in Alaska on Monday, they're going to get back, you know, Monday night, pack it on Tuesday, ship it on Wednesday, gets into town here on Thursday, we're going to get it on Friday. So that fresh fish is 5 days old. Because we're in the Midwest, that's just the logistics of it.
Right.
So you actually get a fresher fish product if you buy that frozen fish fillet.
Makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
Makes an absolute ton of sense. Yeah. And to me, beef, when you freeze it and then thaw it out and cook it, has a different consistency than fish. I mean, fish is, whether I have it fresh or whether I have it frozen, seems like when it thaws out, it's the same.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. But for some reason, there's something that happens in a beef steak that to me, I'd rather not eat a frozen steak and wait for the fresh one the next day if I have to do that kind of thing. Is there any logic to that? Or
I think there is, but yet I know there are times where we've done this. You know, we got camping season coming up, or maybe you're going canoeing or whatever that is. So in a time like that, then I would freeze our steaks. So let's say we're going to do a steak meal. I'll freeze them, put them in a vac seal them, use them as ice, Then the next day or 2 days later, they're naturally going to thaw. You lose all the juice in them.
Right.
And you really don't taste a difference.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe it's me. Maybe mine were in the freezer just a little too long.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, coming up next, we're going to be talking with a guy named Captain Ken. And Captain Ken runs Gyra Charters out of Augrey in the Saginaw Bay. And he is a walleye fisherman extraordinaire, and he's available for charters. So you're going to want to listen to this and listen to the knowledge that this guy is going to impart on you. You're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
I like my backyard. I like being outside all year long. I work hard. I exercise and live life to the max. Nothing's better than slipping out in my Arctic spa and relaxing with my family. The Spa Boy Advanced Water Care System keeps my water crystal clear, and I control everything from my smartphone, iPad, or laptop. Check out arcticspas.com and find the perfect hot tub for your home. I'm Barbecue Bob.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer, bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's Garrett'sAppliances.com, Garrett'sAppliances.com.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Brian throwing down a little bump. All right, brother. We're getting us in the mood on a Saturday. And you are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. This is not Dance Fever. But at the end of the day, one of the things that I love to do the most is a little fishing. And we just talked to Barbecue Bob, and he's down there at Gulf Shores, and you know, he's eating seafood, and he might be doing a little fishing, but I doubt it. He usually just has people put it on his plate for him down there. You know what I mean? But, Tim, you and I have had the pleasure and the opportunity to spend some time up out of Augrey in doing a little walleye fishing with one of our friends. And the season's right around the corner. It opens the same time as trout season does. That's that last Saturday in April. But we've got a guy on the grilling line right now that knows a little bit about walleye fishing. Welcome to the show, Captain Ken.
Well, greetings, Randy. How you doing?
I'm good, sir. How are you and the Gyra Charter crew?
Well, we're doing great. We're doing great. We're getting ready.
Right, exactly. And so we wanted to chat with you a little bit. You have an opportunity to do what most men would love to do, and that is fish almost every day in the summer. You've retired out of your construction career and opened up a little charter service, this Gyra Charters. Tell us a little bit about where you're at.
Well, I'm in Saginaw Bay, and I'm on the west side of Saginaw Bay in a little town called Augrey, Michigan. It's a tributary to Saginaw Bay. I live right on the river. I have my dock and my boat set up right here on the river. I'm about a half a mile from Saginaw Bay, and I consider Saginaw Bay to be one of the world's best walleye fishery there can be.
Yep, and I think you're speaking from experience, right?
Absolutely. Any time spent fishing is a wonderful experience.
And I'll throw that in there, too. If you've never fished with Captain Ken, he attacks those walleye like Chuck Norris. He's relentless. Nobody fishes harder than Captain Ken.
Well, we enjoy every minute of it, and we love it. And, you know, we have an opportunity to take people out that don't get a chance to fish that often, and it's just very exciting to see people be able to catch walleyes and then enjoy eating them afterwards.
Well, and that was where I was going next with the questioning, is that you are successful virtually every time you go out. I mean, it's fishing. It's not catching, but it's the closest thing to catching when you're fishing with Captain Ken. You got to put that on a T-shirt. Right?
Yeah.
But my question is Ken, you have a unique way of cooking the walleye where it's more walleye than anything else. And I think I'd like you to share that if you would, please.
Well, you know, we get a walleye and we'll fillet it up and we'll cut it in 2 to 3 pieces on each side of a fillet. What I like to do is I wash those fillets very, very well. Get them really nice and water soaked and cleaned up. And then I'll actually ice them up. I'll get them on ice, get them very, very cold. And then I like to deep fry them. And I put, I use a coating, a bread type coating. I take them out of the ice water, drain them off till they're just damp. And then I'll put them in the coating. And then immediately in the hot oil, I like to keep my oil, somewhere around 375 degrees, somewhere in that range, and just deep fry them. So it's very quick. It goes from ice water to draining them to putting them in the breading and then into the hot oil. One of the secrets I like to do is I do not like to keep them in the breading very long. So it's as soon as they get in the breading and they're coated, into the hot oil they go.
Yeah, and I've seen you use, it's kind of like a little Tupperware, for lack of a better word, shaker thing, where the batter's in the bottom and the fish are on like a little perforated grid thing, and you're shaking them up and down to get that breading on them, but they're not actually in the breading. The breading is kind of falling by them back and forth, so your breading is very light. But what you taught me, and maybe you didn't want me to tell this part of the secret, but that piece from going from the ice-cold fish into the hot oil, and you don't want to stub your toe between the two of those. You want it to happen quick because that batter gets real light, and it's crispy. Then when that cold fish and the hot oil are on both sides of that batter, it crisps right up really quick, and you don't get this big gummy amount of batter. It's just a crisp little coating on there, and you get those little pieces down by the tail. It's like eating potato chips. They're really thin.
Chips.
Oh man, are those good? Those are my favorite. Those little thin ones down on the end, where it's like, oh man, good stuff. It's all really good though.
And the rumor is that they go good, those fillets, when you wash them down with a couple of cold dipsy doodles at Captain Ken's.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's firsthand experience as well. Hey, Ken, I don't want to go too deep into this but it's something that you're passionate about, and I wanted to give you the pulpit to share a little bit. I understand there's potentially some new rules coming down regarding commercial fishing in the Saginaw Bay area, and just interested in if you could break it down for us a little bit and give us your opinion on it.
Well, you know, it is something very close to my heart, and all I can say is I just feel a little disappointed with the amount of information that I'm able to get and what's really happening with the commercial fishing in Saginaw Bay. I attend a lot of the DNR programs that they have in the spring, and everything that I've heard recently was that they are going to reduce the amount of commercial fishing in Saginaw Bay in an effort, by the way, to bring back the perch population, which the perch population this year is doing very well. It's coming back. We're starting to catch more perch. It's been really exciting. Right now, it is illegal to net walleyes and lake trout in Saginaw Bay. And right now, there is a I guess there is a lot of discussion and a lot of talk about what they call bycatch, and that's allowing the commercial fishing organization to keep a certain amount of walleye and a certain amount of lake trout per their netting, how many nets they're allowed to have each year. And that's just disappointing to me. It's disappointing to many of the fisheries. It's disappointing to the sportsmen. You know, right now, just the commercial fishing alone kills a lot of walleyes that, you know, they got their nets out and walleyes go into their nets and they're supposed to let them go. But they end up killing quite a few walleyes in the process of doing that. And now, not only that, is they're going to be, it looks like, allowed to keep a certain percentage of the walleyes they get in their nets.
Which we know will be an increased number, just miraculously how that happens. So, yeah, yeah. I agree that it's a sport fishery, right? I mean, it's the Saginaw Bay is one of the world's premier sport fisheries. Every year, you know, tens of thousands of anglers go to the Saginaw Bay and are fortunate enough to catch walleyes. Right. I mean, there's that many of them in there that they're fortunate enough that with a little bit of skill, you know, you forgot more than most anglers will know about walleye fishing. I realize that. But, you know, that's why I come and fish with you, because I get to go fishing once or twice a year for walleyes. And why not go with a guy that, you know, really knows how to do
fish.
It? Right. Put me on the fish. So, Captain.
Well,
Cap-
the thing that I really would like to say is, you know, the walleyes, the larger walleyes actually in the spring and through the summer, migrate out of Saginaw Bay. Matter of fact, just recently, an ice fisherman caught a walleye in Wisconsin that was tagged out of the Saginaw River.
Wow.
Another guy caught one way down on the southern end of, way down by Chicago. That, you know, they all migrate back in the spring to spawn, and they'll go back to the same tributary rivers that they spawned in. But those walleyes cover an enormous amount of the Great Lakes.
Wow, they
which
do.
Which was never known before. They never realized it until they started tagging them and monitoring where they travel. So to say that the Saginaw Bay Area is getting overpopulated with walleyes is kind of a falsehood. And the fact that they migrate so much in the summer, there's only a certain amount of walleyes in the bay during the summer.
Right. So, Captain Ken, if somebody wanted to give you a ring and go out and experience the Gyra Charters, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, my email is CaptainKen@GyraCharters.com.
All right, and Gyra is spelled how?
J-I-R-E-H.
Absolutely. All right, Captain Ken, thanks so much for your time and your walleye tips, and we are looking forward to seeing you this spring. I think I'm coming up there in June, and we're going to wet a line, my brother.
Well, I'm really looking forward to it. It looks like it's going to be a wonderful season. I just got my dock in this past week, and we're ready to go. We are absolutely ready to go and excited.
And we're going to see Captain Ken and Judy tonight at the Turkey Ranch.
Yeah.
Look forward to seeing them.
All right.
Oh, we can't wait for that. We're all excited. Saturday night, we're going to be there, and we got our dancing shoes on.
All right.
Captain Ken, thanks so much. We'll see you in a while.
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right. You're listening to The Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back. Today's Man Law. We've been talking about manly things. We've been doing a little cooking. We've been doing a little fishing. And now we're going to talk a little bit about beer. And this is a simple man law. There is no wasted beer in the name of humor. that buddy that comes up and clanks the bottom of his beer on the top of your beer bottle and makes it overflow, that benefits no one. It was funny when I was like 19, but I'm done with that, okay? That's just a damn waste of beer is all that is. What do you think about that, Tim?
I agree.
Yeah, I agree.
Don't waste beer.
No, right. You know, you rent it. You never own it anyway. You only rent it, so I want to get as much value out of it as I can. I don't want to dump it on the ground.
If you're going to get rid of it anyway, just give it to me.
Right, yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about High on the Hog. And when we're sitting there thinking about putting some ribs on the grill, I want the butcher's opinion of spares versus baby backs and why you would have one versus the other. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts, and actually, let's start with the spare rib.
Okay.
But a portion of the spare rib is the St. Louis rib. So the St. Louis rib has the brisket bone cut off from it. So there's more meat on the spare rib / St. Louis rib than the baby backs. That's what I'm after.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a little more fat. It's a thicker meat, and there's more fat mixed in there as well. There's more taste, more flavor, takes on smoke better. I'd rather have a spare rib or St. Louis rib before a baby back any day.
Okay, so the spare rib rack is farther down the animal toward the belly from the baby backs, which are up higher.
Correct.
Is that right?
Yep.
Okay, it's still all the same rib cage of the hog,
yep.
But up top near the loin is where the baby backs come from, and further down the belly is where the spares come from.
Correct.
Okay.
So up at the top, if you were to think of if you had a bone-in pork chop.
Right.
And that's why they have so many baby backs is because they were doing the boneless pork loins. So now that's where the boneless pork loin is on the side of the baby backs.
Okay.
We remove that loin meat. What do we do with all the ribs? Hence is how they invented the baby back rib. But you're exactly right. The rib bone is the rib bone all the way down to the breast.
Right.
And so the spare ribs are below the baby backs.
Right.
And so there's more meat on the outside of those where they take the belly, as they'll call it.
Right.
But the side for bacon.
Right. That's exactly it. Because between the spares and then the bacon hits, and then you're on the outside of the animal.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
So anything that's closer to bacon without being bacon is going to be better.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, here we're back to this same old theme again.
Yeah.
If it's bacon, it's good.
Yeah.
But so the St. Louis is just a portion of those spares where that cartilage is cut off.
Correct.
The end, and that they make riblets out of that. People will. They'll put those in the smoker after they've cut them off, and it's yet a third dish that comes off that particular cut. Now, the spares, when you're cooking them, how do you know when they're done?
I go back to my digital meat thermometer, and I like to go at about a 185 to 190-ish.
Yep.
If you were going to do competition, if you didn't have a meat thermometer, if you took tongs and gave it a slight twist where it just barely released itself, that would be a competition done rib.
Right. But once again, over and over, you've heard the grilling guys and many of our guests come on and say the digital thermometer is the best tool you can have in your grilling box.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's right behind the tongs. And a lot of times it's before the tongs because you don't want to pull it off with the tongs till the temperature's right. And the worst thing you can do is overcook something. If it's overdone, it's not going to be as good, and you're going to be disappointed in the product. But you've been listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Tim Sobey, Sobey Meats, thanks so much for spending time with me today.
Pleasure being here, being
a part of the show. And if people wanted to find you, where are you at?
3450 Remembrance Road in Walker.
Yep, west side of Grand Rapids. But thanks for listening. We'll talk with you next week.
There's a party going on right here.